You know, it's very obvious that we live in a world that is dangerous to our faith. We live in a world that is hostile toward God, His Word, His people. We live in a time where sin is not only being accepted and tolerated, but promoted and glorified. And in fact, if you do not go along with it and become a champion for it, you are targeted and attacked. We see where it seems like every single institution and agency is determined to brainwash, to mislead, to indoctrinate individuals further and further away from the Lord and further into a life of rebellion. This is a very dangerous time in which we live. And yet all those things, and we could go on for hours talking about just those things, none of those things individually or even collectively together are the most dangerous threat we face. In fact, as we open God's Word this morning, we come to Mark chapter 12, verses 38 through 40. Our Lord says to watch out, to be careful, to look out, to be aware. And what is amazing is when He says that, He wasn't talking about the tyrannical Roman government that ruled over them. And He wasn't even talking about the unbelieving pagans and their lifestyle around them that certainly served as a temptation for them. As dangerous as those things were, as much of a problem as those things were, that's not what our Lord gave the greatest warning about. And so look with me as we see what He told His people then, that's just as timely and relevant for us now. Look what we read as we look at Mark chapter 12, verses 38 through 40. In His teaching, He was saying, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and like respectful greetings in the marketplaces and chief seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets, who devour widows' houses and for appearance' sake offer long prayers. These will receive the greater condemnation." You think about what He's talking about there. It's very clear, very easy to understand. Doesn't take much explanation. We can all follow it, though we certainly want to see everything there is to see there. He's telling us to be very careful of religious shysters. The first thing we need to look out for, religious scam artists, those religious fakes, those who in fact seek to mislead individuals. Look at what, you know, you look at them, it's very obvious. They carry themselves in a way that looks impressive, looks very religious, looks very pious, certainly looks spiritual, but not because it's real, not because it's authentic, not because it's from the heart, not out of a love for God, not out of a love even for others. But everything is in fact based upon their pride. Everything is in fact based upon their desire for position. Everything is based upon their desire for profiting off the things and work of God any way they possibly can. In fact, just look a little bit closer just so we have a firm understanding what our Lord is talking about. He talks there about warning them about wearing the long robes. The long robe there always was used to signify, to represent, to show, you know, this individual was in fact a religious person, was in fact a very religious person. I mean, this was in fact that external look. It just had that look of being spiritual and religious. As we'll see, there wasn't anything inside of it that was real, but it looked impressive from the outside. The greetings that He talks about there in verse 38, that's not merely, "Hey Joe, hey Bob, hey, you know, however." It was in fact, when they talk about greetings, it was a very formal thing that they would go through where their position was in fact, you know, highly exalted and publicized. And it was made very, very clear that this was a religious leader, that this was someone who was important in the role of religion. And so it was a very formal thing, a very technical thing. Again, it wasn't just yelling, you know, someone across the parking lot, "Hey, how you doing?" This is in fact a very formal, technical thing where they were in fact recognized as being this great spiritual, religious leader. He talks about the chief seats in the synagogue. In the synagogue, you would have where there would be the place where the Torah, that would be the copy of the Old Testament, at least the first five books were kept, and the chief seats were in fact near the Torah. And those who were in fact seen as being very important, being very, you know, the religious leaders, were in fact invited to sit there. It was a place of prominence. You know, you're very much on display. This person is it. This person has in fact arrived. He goes on to mention the long prayers that they give down in verse 40. Not because it comes from their heart. And the idea there is not that there's something wrong with having a long prayer. If it's truly from the heart and there's truly a burden and there's truly a desire to seek the Lord. But all of this is simply for a religious performance. Now, all of that would be bad enough because it's obvious as you look at that. And again, even a casual reading, you can see it. And the more you look at it, the more you see. It's obvious these individuals were fake. But what made it even worse is how they used that fakery. Notice verse 40, they devour widows' houses. You see, what was so often happened because these men were looked upon as being these great spiritual leaders, these great religious leaders, quite often they would be asked to help look after the estate and help look after the affairs of various widows. Because again, their position was recognized, it was honored. And there was a very common pattern where part of the looking after the estate and advising the widow would result in donations going to that person's ministry, shall we say. They were fakes. They were scammers. Shyster is the word I'm using. You can use, you think about any word, taking advantage of individuals. Now, obviously, that was a problem then. It's obviously a problem now. We all know of individuals, maybe personally, maybe our family or friend, who's been caught up in some sort of, we'll just call it religious racket that pretty much operates the very same way. News stories in the last 20 or 30 years have been filled with those kinds of ministry stories. We've all heard of those. I remember of conversations having not long ago where, and it was a widow, was in fact approached, and I don't know how much this individual was working directly for this ministry or whether how much of it was, on his own, just a little too eager. But amazing the way that, he was able to get them to give this lady a large portion of her wealth, to that ministry, if you want to call it that. And again, not trying to bash that ministry. I don't know how much of it was them, how much of it was this guy doing this on his own, whatever the case may be. But we all know those kinds of stories. And as bad as it is financially, the spiritual damage is the worst part of it. In fact, as you recall, Paul warned about this. You think about what Paul told the elders of the church at Ephesus the last time he saw them. You think about Acts chapter 20. Look at verses 28 through 30. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which you, the Holy Spirit, has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among them your own selves, men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. Did you see the contrast there? Not only a powerful message, but the message is made even clearer there. The warning's even more clear when you consider the contrast. He talks about the elders, those whom God had called, raised up to lead the church. What were they supposed to do? Shepherd the flock. In other words, they were to feed, they were to lead, they were to take care of the flock. That was their calling. But these fakes, and this is just a whole, just another group, just like our Lord warned about the scribes, what were they? Wolves. You think about it, interesting contrast. The Holy Spirit leading Paul there to make a point, not just what surface stated there on the surface, but you think about the contrast. Instead of a shepherd, they're actually a wolf. It was a warning then. It's a warning now. In fact, it is, quite honestly, seeing this will actually increase. We talk about the signs of the times. This is actually the main sign that as believers we're supposed to look for. You think about what we see in 2 Timothy chapter 4, probably very familiar to you, verses 1 through 4. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who's to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. This is what Paul is telling Timothy. Timothy, you've been called as the pastor of the church. They're at Ephesus, by the way. And this is what you're supposed to do. This is what you're supposed to dedicate yourself to. Why would that be so important? Why would it be even more important as you get closer and closer to the end of the age? Verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. It's bad enough that these individuals are fakes in and of themselves. It's certainly bad when they, you know, financially take advantage of individuals. But what is worse is the way in which they spiritually mislead people away from a genuine salvation, away from truly walking with the Lord, away from truly knowing the truth and the richness of a fellowship and a walk with the living God. It was a problem in the Old Testament with false prophets. It was a problem in the day of our Lord with the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the other religious misleaders. The scribes are the ones he was talking about here. It was true even in the day of Paul, and Paul made it very clear that it would become an increasing problem at the end of the age. In fact, as we've observed before, when you read through the New Testament and you look at the last book written by each of the inspired writers, every one of them deals with the topic of apostasy. That is a falling away from the faith. And the falling away is, in fact, misled by these misleaders. We look around, we certainly see it today. But you know, as we look at this passage, yes, it warns us to be on guard against the religious shysters, those who are fake, who try to profit off what is allegedly the work of God, and most importantly, that we're not spiritually misled by them. But you know, as we look at this passage and we ponder it, it becomes very clear that there's another level of warning that we need to be very careful about. Yes, we need to watch out and be on guard against religious shysters. But we also, number two, need to be on guard for religious self. And by religious self, I mean simply where it is superficial, an act, when it's not really from the heart. And yes, you know, we see these characteristics that our Lord is talking about with the scribes. We certainly see it, you know, we apply it to the false prophets of our generation, and certainly as increases go through the end of the age. But you know, as we're sitting here this morning, outside of making sure we're never misled, this is time for you and I to take a deep, prayerful look at our own heart. Now, we might not be to this level, prayerfully, hopefully we're not, but it's so easy for us to allow these various tendencies into our own heart and into our own life. And it ought to lead us to a time of prayerful, serious self-examination before God. And as we look at this list, it ought to lead us to look at ourselves. And that, yes, be on guard against religious shysters, but be on guard against religious self. And think about some of the ways we can see this. A, posing. And by that I mean we simply want to look good, but it's not really from our heart. Again, you think about verse 38, beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes. Again, they were posing, they were acting, they had that look of being religious. How easy is that for us this morning? You know, it's Sunday morning, we're in church, we don't wear the long robes, it's less and less of a thing now. We wear, you know, what we call our, used to call our Sunday best. But we can have that church look, you know, just the way we carry ourselves and act and talk. You know, as we're here before the Lord, each of us needs to be asking ourselves, what is the reality of my Christianity? What is the reality of my Christian faith? As you're here this morning, and as you're sitting there just, you know, in your own heart, just between you and God, no one else knows this, not our place to judge. But let me ask you, and it's imperative, what is the reality of your Christian faith? Have you truly been born again? I'm not asking if you've been active in church or enjoy church or enjoy doing church activities. But if you truly, personally trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, that you know only He can save you, and that He can save you because He died and rose again, Have you truly trusted Him? Because outside of Him, there is no salvation. You can come here every Sunday. You can come here every time the doors are open. And you can have that church look, that church act. It will not save. We can talk about the shysters. We need to look at self. Have you truly been born again? Child of God, what is the reality of your walk? And again, only you and God know this in your hearts, and no one else is placed for us to even fathom a guess. But is there sin or are there sins in your life that as you sit here before the Lord this morning, you know they need to be confessed? You know that you need to ask Him to enable you to repent, that is to turn, to change. I'm not saying to make a show out of it. I'm talking about as you sit here before the Lord. As you come here, have you come here this morning because you really want to know the Lord? You recognize, child of God, how much you need Him, His strength, His guidance. Or are you merely posing? It's easy to talk about the shysters. It's easy to talk about those various so-called ministries, but the truth comes out on them. But as we're here, we need to be looking at ourselves. Are you just posing? Or are you truly real and genuine and sincere as you come here before the Lord this morning? There's the danger of posing. There's the danger of pride. Look again, latter part of verse 38 through 39. They liked respectful greetings in the marketplaces and chief seats in the synagogues and places of honor at the banquets. Again, all that formal recognition of who they were. Look at who I am. How easy it is for us to come to church, conduct ourselves, be part of activities, serve on committees, have various roles, and it really be, look at who I am. You know, the simple truth that each of us needs to remember as we're here this morning before the Lord, and quite frankly, every moment of our lives, at church or away from it, there's only one to be glorified, and none of us is Him. And whether it's a role of ministry that everybody sees or behind the scenes no one knows about, and really whether it's at church or someplace else, there's only one to be glorified. And none of us are Him. We saw it, I think it was last week, but you think about Isaiah 42, verse 8. Notice what it says there. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another, nor my praise to graven images. There's only one to be glorified in everything that we do, and especially in His service. And it's so easy for us to think, well, you know, what's the harm? What's the big deal? Well, stay with me in the book of Isaiah and turn with me over to Isaiah chapter 57. And notice what we read, verse 15. For thus says the High and Exalted One, who lives forever, whose name is holy. I will dwell on a high and holy place, and also with the contrite and lowly of spirit, in order to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. Did you see the middle of that verse? God's made it very clear that there are only two places where He's going to go. Now, I know God is omnipresent. He's everywhere one time at any given time. But I'm talking about as far as revealing Himself, as far as Him being known. There's only two places that God's going to go. Did you catch it in the middle of the verse? The high and holy place. That's obviously in heaven, His realm of glory. And also with the contrite and spirit of the lowly. You think about what that tells us. If we have an element of pride within our heart, we are not going to experience the nearness and closeness of God. Simple truth of the matter is we can have our pride or we can have God, but we're not going to have both. Which do you want? Which have you, in fact, brought? Again, we can have our pride or we can have God, but we won't have both. And the simple truth of the matter is we won't have our pride for very long because God will deal with that. You think about what we read over in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, "You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders. And all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Well, then what should we do as a response? Well, still 1 Peter chapter 5, look at verse 6. Look at the admonition. "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time." As we have come before the Lord this morning, as you've come before the Lord, only you know this. Have you come in pride or a spirit of humility before him? Remember, God will only go two places, the high and holy place and the lowly contrite heart. He's made it clear. Now, yes, he's omnipresent. He's everywhere at one time. But as far as the sense of his presence, the reality of his nearness, he's made it very clear he's not going to the proud heart. Only when we come before him in humility will we in fact experience him. Could it be as we come here that we've come in a spirit of pride, that as we confess our sins before him, that needs to be where we start, and to humble ourselves before him? We see the issue of posing. We see the issue of pride. But notice as well the issue of profiteering. Again, verse 40, the scribes, they devoured widows' houses. Certainly they were trying to, monetarily profit off of it. And again, we all know the news stories of various so-called ministries and so-called ministers who've done that. You may even have personal experience with those. But money is not the only way to profit off the Lord's work. Again, we've already mentioned pride, but also attention, sometimes control. Again, that whole aspect of applause, if you will. What motivates us? What motivated us to come here this morning? What motivates us to do whatever it is we do for the Lord? And I think, everyone who does anything in this fellowship, I thank you for it, whether it's officially voted on or not, seen or unseen. But each of us needs to examine ourselves while we do it. Because it's very easy for us to, in fact, do it really for self instead of for the Lord. And yet everything that we do is to be for him. Again, you think about what we read in Psalm 100, and you can read through the whole psalm, but just think about the first two verses. "Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness, and come before him with joyful singing." Who are we supposed to be serving? The Lord. And yet how easy it is to really serve self for applause, for control, for whatever, in the name of the Lord, but it really be for us. I didn't really think about how far this went till went through the study, Behold Your God. I know several of you went through that. And John Snyder brought out a point that I'd never thought about before. He said, so often in churches, and we've done this, I've done this, and never really thought about it at the time. We'll ask someone to do something, because that'll make them feel like they're a part of it. It'll make them feel important, and that'll cause them, to want to be more involved in the church. That's actually frequently taught in various seminars, seminary classes, workshops, things of that nature. I'd never thought about it until John Snyder brought it out. He said, that's really, when we do that, we're really leading people into a self-idolatry. Because what they're doing is they're doing it for themselves in the Lord's name. There's only one reason, Dr. Snyder went on to point this out, there's only one reason to serve the Lord, and that's because he is the Lord. And if we try to do it for ourselves, it's really self-idolatry. Now, don't get me wrong. There is a blessing that comes out of being used by God. It is thrilling. It's exciting. There's nothing like it. I'm not in any way denying that there are, in fact, side benefits, if you will. But I'm talking about the primary core motivation is to serve the Lord because He is the Lord. And no, we might not profit monetarily from whatever it is we do for Him, but it's very easy to profit in terms of our ego, in terms of applause, in terms of attention, control, whatever the case may be. You think about whatever it is you do for the Lord. It may be official, may not, it may be unofficial. What really motivates you? There's only one biblical reason, and that is because He is the Lord. Otherwise, we're just profiting. Maybe not like the scribes, but we're still profiting. Yes, our Lord told us to watch out, certainly for the shysters. They were real then, they're real now, and they'll get even more real toward the end of the age. But as we look at, you know, what He was talking about with them, it's obvious we need to look at ourselves. And again, you look at yourself this morning, just between you and the Lord. As you've come here this morning, as you have sung hymns and songs to Him, followed in prayer, joined in prayer, opened His Word, have you come here this morning with humility, with sincerity, with a genuine desire to know God, to be close to Him? Or could it be that in a small way you are exactly following what our Lord told us not to do? And could it be in this time, the invitation time that we're about to have, that you need to meet with the Lord to confess, to forsake, to turn your heart toward Him? Yeah, watch out for the shysters, to be true. There's a lot of them. But watch out for self as well. Sometimes He's even more dangerous. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.